Revelation chapter 3. We'll be looking at one of the churches, the seven churches of Asia this evening. It's probably not the one that we want it to be. It's based off of what the Lord has instructions for it, but I think it is needful for us tonight. I think it's needful for every church. I think it's needful for us to be reminded of. And I ask that you'd pray for me tonight. The Lord will help me to preach this in a way that would be pleasing unto the Lord, that would give Him honor and give Him glory. First and foremost, that's what I always want from a sermon, is to give God honor and to give Him glory. Revelation chapter 3. And look at verse 14. This is the church at Laodicea. Again, Christ has written some, or God has, or Jesus has written some letters. He's written them to the angel of the church, and those angels, most people would agree that they are the pastors or the under shepherd or the one that is the leader of that flock. And he's written these letters to give them some instructions, to give them some. Some help in some areas that they may be struggling. I was thinking today, as I was thinking over these churches, I'm thankful. I believe that the Lord could not say about us that we're a church at Sardis. I pray that He would never be able to say that about us. How awful would it be to say, you have a name that you're alive, but thou art dead. How awful would that be for the Lord to be able to say that of this congregation here? What did He tell the church at Sardis? He said, you need to be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, because they are ready to die. And how awful would it be to have that letter written to this church? You know, we check our mail here, and sometimes we get letters from other churches, correspondence from other places. And how awful would it be to have a letter addressed to us tonight from Jesus that said, you have a name that you're alive, but you're ready to die. I was thinking, what would we do tonight if we actually got a letter from Christ? If He actually sat down and wrote us a letter, what would that letter say to our church? What would He include in that for this congregation that meets here Sunday after Sunday, the church that gathers here together? What would He be able to say to us as a group of people? I pray that it's not what He said to the church at Laodicea, but my message title tonight, if you'd like to have that, is Be Careful. Be careful. Verse 14 says, and unto the angel of the church at Laodicea, unto the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee, or I help thee, or I caution you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be as clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door, and I knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. I want to make mention of something very quickly before we move very far into this message. I have heard people take verse 20, and I've heard them preach that to lost people. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him. I don't think he was speaking to lost people there. I believe he was speaking to that church. I think he was talking to them that they needed to knock at, that he was standing at the door. He was knocking at that church's door, and if they would listen to him and open that door to him, that he would help them, that he would bless them, that he would come in and dine with them. There's a song that we sing that says, come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. And most people would say that's to lost people, but I think saved people need to go sit at the master's table every now and then and learn a little bit. But as I was thinking about this lesson, I was thinking about this sermon, one of the things that really came to my mind was be careful. You know, most of us here tonight have been around church for a very, very, very long time. This morning I preached about the journey of saved people and how each of us really reach that period in our lives where we get kind of complacent with things. Well, I want us to understand as churches, we can also be very complacent where we are. I'm very thankful tonight that the Lord has allowed me to be the pastor of this church. But I want us to never be so weary in our well-doing or look around and see the things that God has allowed to happen here at Mount Calvary that we get so caught up in the good things that we realize that God is able to take the good things and bring us crashing back down. I don't want you to take this message as a rebuke tonight, but I want us to take this and I want us to realize that we still have a job to do, brothers and sisters. God has blessed us here at Mount Calvary, but I want us to be so careful not to forget that I lost friends and I lost family, that they are still bound for hell and we still have a job to do. It is our job, brothers and sisters, to be protectors and watch care over those that have been entrusted to us. I was thinking today also about the many ones that attend our church that may be lost. I was thinking about those that have attended our church that may be lost. Those that are associated with our church that may be lost. And when I say associated, I mean anybody that you know, that you come in contact with, that you know is lost or that could be lost. I believe they're associated with our church. They're associated with you. You're the church. Therefore, they're associated to our church. I was thinking about those friends and those family members and even those enemies that we have that are around us and they're lost and out in sin. I went even a little farther and I thought about Nashville as a whole. You know, we have a great responsibility, and Brother Colin this morning, I said in our Sunday school lesson, he said the great majority of people in this world are probably lost and bound for hell. And the ratio of saved to lost is probably a large ratio in between that. There's probably a great gap between those that have actually truly been saved and those that are lost and on their way to hell. And he said that should not deter us from realizing that we still have a job to do. And one of the things that I caution our church tonight in is to not be lukewarm. What was the Lord saying to the church at Laodicea? If you know about where Laodicea was, they had these aqueducts that brought their water to them. Now, I want you all to think about taking a drink of water. Now, usually if I take a drink of water, I don't want to take a drink of actual hot water. That's not very appealing to me. If I'm going to sit down and take a drink of water, I want a glass of good hot or cold water, something that is going to be able to quench my thirst. Now, you think about what water actually does for us. On a good hot day, that cold water is useful to us. When I go to cook some kind of dish at home, I don't want to use some lukewarm water to cook something in. I want some hot boiling water to be able to make what I need for my dinner. And I want you to realize tonight what the Lord was trying to say is, I want you to be one of two ways. I want you to be so cold and indifferent that you're not able to even see that you're to be able to see that there's an issue, or I want you to be so on fire for me to know that I'm in your presence. You see, if we're lukewarm, we kind of get complacent. We get in that place where we're like, well, everything's going kind of okay. We're not really having anything bad happen, but we're just kind of okay. We're just kind of going along. We're having good services, but nothing's really taking place. Brothers and sisters, that is on us to do a greater job of praying that God will meet with us in a mighty, mighty way, that He would pour His Spirit out upon us, that we might see some results from the things that the Lord has put upon our hearts. The Bible says those that reap in tears, those that sow in tears shall reap in joy. You know, sometimes it takes a church struggling a little while to go through a valley for it to come out of it and begin to see the rewards of the things that they've sown. You know, this church at Laodicea, I guess in my mind what I picture, this is totally a Taylorism. I said, I want you to not get up tomorrow and go to somewhere and start quoting that this is what the Bible says. But can you just imagine, Sunday after Sunday, you've got this group of people that comes in, they meet. I just picture them coming into a place quite like we do. They come in. They all gather in. You just kind of see them file in, set in their seats. Somebody grabs a songbook and they start playing the piano and they sing a few songs and it's just kind of what it is. They have a prayer, and the prayer's just kind of flat. Nobody's really praying very much. The preacher gets up. He just kind of runs through what he's got. He's not very into it. He hasn't really prayed. He hasn't really gotten into the Spirit. They have an invitational. Again, the singing's just kind of flat. They're not really there. They're thinking about where they're going for lunch or where they're going to watch on football or who's going to win the Super Bowl or something like that. They have maybe a handshake. They're just kind of going around, not doing a whole lot. And I want you to realize something. You do that time and time and time and time again, and we get satisfied with that. We feel like we've gone and we've done our part. Well, I want you to realize something. When we come into the Lord's house, our preparations should have started a long time ago. It shouldn't just start at the very moment that we get out of the car to come in here. We should be praying all week that God will help us. That's why when I say let's go away praying and come back praying, I mean that. When we leave this place, we should be praying for the next time that we come into this church house. Not just for me, not just for you. We should be praying for each other as a congregation. That no matter what happens to us this week, that we'll have God on our minds, that we'll have our lost friends and family on our minds so strongly that if God lays it on us to go talk to them, that we'll be willing to do that. We're willing to go and invite somebody to the Lord's house. That we're praying that God would not just stay away from our services. Sometimes I think our churches are actually so scared of the Lord coming by and blessing them because they may actually have to do something. How awful is it for us to say, we're a Spirit-led church, but we don't want God to be here because we may actually have to work. Brothers and sisters, I pray that God would shake Mount Calvary up in a way that it's never been so that our friends and our family, so that we as God's people will see Him move. I was thinking about this church at Laodicea, and you know, I feel like a lot of our churches are in this condition. They're just okay. They're just satisfied. I never, as I told you this morning, I never want to be satisfied. I want God to either be whipping me around or blessing me. That way, if He's whipping me around, I know that I need to do a better job of serving Him. And when He's blessing, I know that I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. You may say, preacher, this is awful hard to us. I want you to realize something. There are people that are depending on you to be their light. They are depending on this church to teach them the truth. They are depending on each of us to share what God has done for us. He told him, he said, I know thy works. You're neither cold and you're not hot. But I would that thou were cold or hot. I would be able to use cold or hot. He said, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I have no use for you. There's nothing worse to me than thinking you're about to get a drink of cold water. And you end up with a mouthful of lukewarm, just gross water that sat there all day and just about make you sick. As I think about this lesson, as I think about this message tonight, about being careful, one of the things I want to caution Mount Calvary about is to always remember that the Lord is in control. He is the leader. He is the guide of our church. In everything that we do, from every decision that we make, I believe God needs to have His way. From everything, everything should be centered and focused upon Him. Be careful. Because soon when we think that we can make all the decisions on our own, soon enough we leave God out of our decisions. The things that we do, the things that we are doing as a church. I want us to remember and realize that our friends and our family, our lost loved ones. And as I thought about this message today, as I was sitting around and as I was thinking earlier this week about what the Lord would have for me to preach tonight, I just kept seeing our lost friends, all the ones that attend here. And I just kept thinking, it is our responsibility to be the light to them. Who is going to be the light if we're not? Who's going to tell them if we don't? Who's going to be the one that tells them about what the Lord has done for them? Who's going to be able to show them how good that God is? This is where they attend church and they need to see something out of us. One of the ladies that attends here, she said that her granddaughter has never seen anybody actually go to the altar to pray.
Can you imagine how sad that is? When I was growing up, I never didn't know what it was like for somebody to go to the altar. I remember that God moved upon people to go and talk to them and love them and care for them enough to ask about where they were going to spend eternity. And those people would run to the altar. They began to seek the Lord. I knew what it was like. I knew what it was going to take for me. I knew that those people were serious about their business. And I remember seeing people go to the altar and pray. The thing that I dreaded the most about being lost was having to go to the altar. I thought, I would rather do anything than to have to do that. But how sad is it, brothers and sisters, for us to have this bench up here, to call ourselves Baptists that believe in a near out salvation, where God is not moving upon lost people anymore to the point that they're satisfied to sit in their seats. The reason it's that way is because Christians are satisfied themselves. When God's people are satisfied, how in the world can you imagine a world full of lost people to be stirred up enough to even realize that they need to seek the Lord? Oh, how sad it is when we have congregations full of lost people and none of them can be convicted enough to even reach out and go seek God for their salvation. How sad is that? Are we lukewarm tonight? Are we in that condition where we are satisfied with our lost loved ones coming in and out of our church and they feel nothing? They feel nothing. They're just okay. Why is it that way, brothers and sisters? Are we satisfied with our lost loved ones dying and going to hell? Are we okay with that? If we are, let's just keep doing what we're doing. Let's just continue on the same path that we're on. And guess what? Soon enough, they'll all fall away and there'll be no hope for them. Are we lukewarm? Let us be careful. I was reading this week in the 20th Century Baptist book about some of our churches. You know, there's a few of those churches that are in that book. They no longer exist. Amen. Their doors are closed. I told you last Sunday about the little deacon that kept going every Sunday. He kept going and going and going because he realized there was a need. And then one day it all broke loose. And God began to move. Where is our perseverance? Where is our loyalty? Where is our love for lost humanity, brothers and sisters? Go back and read about the church at Ephesus. What did the Lord tell them? He said, I know thy works and thy labor. This is the second chapter of the book of Revelation. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say thou art apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. You've done some good things, and hast borne and hast patience. And for my name's sake, you've labored. You've given your all. You've done the work. And you've not fainted. You've not given up like that little deacon. You've put in the work and you've not fainted. You've not given up. Nevertheless, you know, it's never good when there's a nevertheless. Usually that means you need to pay attention to this next part. He said, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You know what people need to see when they come in Mount Calvary's doors? They only see my face. That'll scare them off for sure. What they need to see is our first love. And you know who our first love ought to be? That is Christ Himself. I've heard people say our first love should be lost people. I disagree. I love lost people, but I love Christ more. And when I show them how much that I love Him, they will recognize that they are missing something and they need His help. Don't leave our first love. Be careful. You know we can leave our first love. We can care so much about everything else that we forget about Christ. We can love everything else so much. We can love this building so much that we forget about Christ. We can love our music. We can love our programs. And we can love each other so much that we forget about Christ. I love everybody in this church more than you'll ever know. But I love God and I love Jesus more than I love all of you. Because if I didn't love them more, there's not a chance in this world I'd be able to stand before you Sunday after Sunday, Sunday night after Sunday night, and be able to preach God's Word. How sad is it, brothers and sisters, that there are places tonight that are, I don't believe are necessarily churches, but they claim to have a first love and have not the first idea about loving Jesus. You know, as Christ wrote these letters to these seven churches, there was one church, one, out of the entire bunch that he didn't have a negative thing to say about. One. I want you to think about tonight. If I were to go out to the mailbox and there was a letter addressed to us from Christ himself, what would he say? What would he see about us? And you can say, preacher, we're doing well. And yes, God has blessed us. I am so thankful. God has blessed Mount Calvary Church, brothers and sisters. He has been good to us. Far better than we've been to Him. He has blessed His congregation. He has given us a strength. He's been able to help us. When we were low, He's been able to strengthen us and give us things that we needed. And He's blessed us in that capacity. And you know what happens when that takes place sometimes? We get satisfied. We're okay. We're in a good position. We're fine. Everything's going well. But you know what that means? There's always room for improvement. There's always room for more. Guess what he says at the end of this letter? He says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You want to know what I thank God for more than anything about this place here at Mount Calvary? Is that when people come here, what do they say about our church all the time? You can feel the Spirit. You can feel the presence of the Lord. I am glad that it's not like Sardis and he says, you know what, you've got the name, you wear the name proudly, but guess what, you are dead. I told you, I believe it was last Sunday, I would rather there be two people here and the Holy Spirit than to have 2,222 here and there be nothing but a church full of people who do not care about serving the Lord. So you know what this church needs to do here at Mount Calvary? Say, preacher, are you going to tell us? Yes, I am. We need to follow the Spirit. Say, preacher, that's what we do. But are we doing a really good job following the Spirit? We can get kind of through. We can do it halfway. We can muddle our way through some things. But are we really following the leadership of the Holy Spirit? Every time that we come into our congregation, our services, whether they be Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday school, are we doing everything that we can to ensure that we're doing everything? We're leaving no stones unturned so that our lost friends, so when they come into this place, I don't want them to say, well, you're just like everybody else. That church over there, you can go over there and it's just like everywhere else on Nolensville Road. I don't want them to say that at all. As people visit our church, and we've been so blessed in the last few months with lots of visitors. I don't want them to be able to walk in those doors and say, you know what? I feel like I'm there. I feel like I'm there. I want them to say, I feel like I've been to church today. I want to caution you about something else, though. As sure as I say that, somebody's going to say, well, he wants to work up the Holy Spirit. No, 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 no. You know what? I want the earnest, honest-to-goodness Spirit to come in me. Because I don't want false spirit. I don't want people to work that up. What I want, it's for the Lord to truly be here because we've prayed, we've invited, we've done what we're supposed to do before we ever get here. If you have a church that is that way, you won't be lukewarm long. You'll be able to be used in His service. Our church will be so on fire, maybe not literally, but spiritually, that this neighborhood could see. You know, something is going on over there at Mount Calvary. Look at the people as they go in. They're doing some good in their community. They're making a difference. They're actually being a church. And I want them to, when they leave, to say, I've never been anywhere like that. I'm fixing to close. I know it's probably not been that long this evening, but that's what the Lord's given us tonight. 2 years ago, on a Wednesday night, I was visiting a barber shop here on Knowlesville Road, and I invited him to come to one of our services, and he came on Wednesday night. He came to hear me preach. Well, As you all know, and as we say from time to time, we don't necessarily know what's going to happen in our services. I'm thankful it's that way. First of all, I'm glad that we don't have to plan everything out because God already has that already for us. But as the service began, people began to shout. They began to testify. Soon enough, we had two or three people, I believe, seeking the Lord. We had testifying all over the church house. Service was going on, and I saw him and his wife get up. And they started to head out. And I called them as they got to the door, and I thanked them for coming. He said, "You all have something very special here." He said, "I've never seen anything like what took place there tonight. I've never seen people enjoy their salvation that much." What more could be said of a group of people than those people really enjoy their salvation? They really have something over there. We were in the barber shop a month or so later, and there was a full cast of people in there. And he began to talk about that service and what took place. He said, "You ought to have seen how those people were going on." He said, "You could just tell those people loved the Lord, and they had something." And people were like, "You know, we haven't heard shouting in our churches in years. We don't even think that would be allowed anymore." And I thought, oh, it's not only allowed, it's welcome. But not only is shouting welcome, that's not a mark of the Holy Spirit. What a mark of the Holy Spirit is that people are being fed, that people are being changed, that people are being led, people are being guided, and people are being, they're being made to be at liberty when they come here. That's the mark of the Holy Spirit. We could have services every Sunday where nobody ever says a thing, and the Holy Spirit could be here and manifest Himself in a mighty, mighty way. Nobody would even have to open their mouths, and the Lord could come on the scene and bless this entire church. It's not about what we do as far as our actions, but it is about the way that we live our lives. It's about the way that we conduct ourselves. It's about the way that we live our lives away from this place so that when we get here, we are so on fire and ready to worship and praise the name of the Lord. I hope that if He sent us a letter, He would be able to say, "Oh, Mount Calvary, I know thy name, and thou hast some good works. And I thank you so much for being willing to follow my leadership, because you are changing people's lives. You're being a witness to those that are lost and out in sin. People can see the difference." I sure wouldn't want a letter that said, "Thou hast a name, but thou art alive, but thou art dead." One of the things I love about this church, I've said it since I started here, is that this church really does have a future. This church has a bright future. And it can continue on for, I hope, generations and generations and generations, for your grandchildren's, great-grandchildren's, great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren were able to attend here, be able to worship in the same place that their great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents worshiped in and felt the Spirit in. And you know what can happen when God's people get so on fire for Him? This place can be so full of the Holy Spirit that people that have never even heard, that walk in the first time, could be so convicted of their sins that they could be saved. I want people to feel conviction when they come into this place. Not because I want them to walk away and say, "I felt bad going there," but they have the truth. Please, brothers and sisters, let us not be lukewarm. Let us be so on fire for the Lord. If we're not going to be on fire, let's just be cold. But I would so much rather us be on fire for the Lord. Our lost friends. And I want you to just stop for just one moment. I want you to go ahead and stand while you're standing. I want you to think about one person that attends this church on a regular basis that you have no idea whether they've been saved or not, whether they have a testimony of salvation. Think about somebody in your life, one person that needs to be saved, that is never told about a time and a place where the Lord has saved their soul. Are we satisfied that they're going to hell? Are we satisfied that that's where they're headed? Because that's where they're going, brothers and sisters. It's our job to do what the Lord has laid upon our hearts. Let us sing.
Number 180.